listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news and photos and videos and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. And we are very pleased to bring aboard with us right now from Bleacher Report their fine draft analyst, Matt Miller, who has his final seven-round mock up on that website. First of all, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again, guys.
It's great to have you with us, and we'll start right with the fact that, you know, what people here want to know about and what you think about the Browns, and I could read it, but I'll let you say it. Who do you have them taking at 4 and at 26?
Well, it's tough because, you know, a week before when the mock draft comes out, so much can change. But looking at where the Browns are at 4, I still think Johnny Manziel is the guy there, and I think that's going to come down to your first pick. Your owner has a lot of, you know, say and input in who you're drafting there. I think Manziel is the guy that they want and would be a great fit there with Kyle Shanahan, with the weapons they have on offense. And then at pick number 26, I've got Cody Latimer, the wide receiver from Indiana, a big target, a guy with some speed after the catch. Putting him opposite Josh Gordon with Jordan Cameron, with Andrew Hawkins, really rounding out the wide receiver corps to give Manziel those threats. Hey, this would be a pretty exciting offense in Cleveland if they can land those two guys.
Certainly would. We're talking with Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. And Matt, one of the things that you've been resolute in, and I happen to agree with you, and that's having Teddy Bridgewater at the top of your board. You've been consistent with that from day one, and in fact, in your mock, you have him going third overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talk a little bit about why, if, let's say, the Browns were to end up with Teddy Bridgewater at 26 or even at 4, why you like Teddy Bridgewater so much.
If the Browns end up with Teddy Bridgewater, I'm probably going to become a fan real quick. Because
good, welcome. Let's go.
He's everything you want, I think. You know, you look at a quarterback scouting report, and you got all these little boxes you want to check. You know, pre-snap intelligence, field vision, pocket presence, accuracy, touch. And I would say arm strength is probably one of the more overrated aspects of quarterbacking, and that's where Bridgewater is probably at his worst, is with that deep accuracy or deep, you know, throwing it 35 yards down the field. But how often are you going to do that in one game? It's pretty rare, especially when you start to look at some of these spread offenses that we're seeing. So I think he's the type of guy that just the understanding of the game. He's one of the few college quarterbacks that I saw all year who actually makes his own lines at their own reads at the line of scrimmage. You know, so many of these guys, they stand back in the shotgun and they look to the sideline and their coach tells them what to do, what kind of checks to make. Bridgewater does that all by himself. When they got in the two-minute drill at Louisville, he was calling the plays in the huddle. It's just so rare to see a quarterback come in with that type of intelligence and readiness, and it's just baffling to me that more people haven't jumped on board with the fact that he's one of the smarter quarterback prospects that I've ever had the pleasure of spending time with and seeing come out of college football.
And, Matt, when you talk about that, everything you just said about Teddy Bridgewater is so sound and so sensible with regard to why you'd pick him. But when you talk about Johnny Manziel to the Browns, and you know, you and so many others attach it to this sort of, I call it the bang-splash theory. It's the whole idea that it's going to just create some excitement and relevance that this Browns team needs. And you referenced owner Jimmy Haslam in kind of this thought process. Is it really more driven by that than by the football soundness? Because that list you just talked about, you're not going to have as many check marks for Manziel as you just had for Teddy.
You're really not. And I like Johnny Manziel. I would say if Bridgewater's off the board Thursday night, and I don't think he will be as early as he should, but I think Manziel is the second best quarterback in this draft. I think he does a lot of things really well. And when I watched every throw, every play, I should say, with him, because he ran the ball so much, and he's just so instinctive. And I thought he really improved from year one to year two. You're looking at a guy that only started 2 years. He was just a redshirt sophomore when he came out. So there's so much room for growth. But like you said, it's kind of a boom or bust pick because, and I feel this way about Blake Bortles too, it's like, okay, if he doesn't get better, if the mechanics don't continue to improve, if Manziel doesn't learn to be like Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and step up into the pocket instead of going backward to make those, you know, off-balance throws, what type of starter can he be long-term? And that's where you have, I think, the biggest concerns about Manziel is he can do wonderful things that we've seen so few guys do, but it's how well is he going to take to coaching when he's under pressure, when the pocket collapses, is he going to revert back to some of the muscle memory and lose 10 or 12 yards trying to scramble around, or is he going to get upfield to look to make plays?
And that'll be the interesting question. That's the $5 bazillion question with Johnny Manziel. Can he stay in the pocket, develop that way? Because if he can, he has the arm. He can make all the throws, and it'll go a long way to keeping him on the field where he can help your team. Vic and I would both agree, Matt, that one of the big needs for the Browns is, of course, the cornerback position. And you have the Browns addressing the cornerback position in your latest 7-round mock, which must be a labor of incredible love, which you can get right now at the Bleacher Report. And you have Pierre Desir from Lindenwood, a guy that those who are not really draft Knicks or people who are really into the draft might not know about, but a guy with good size and talent. Let the Browns audience know a little bit about Pierre Desir and why you think he's such a good fit for Cleveland, maybe as early as 35. Overall.
I'm with you guys. A big need opposite Joe Haden. And I look at Pierre Desir. He has all the tools that you want from a corner in today's league. He has the length, the size to play off of the line of scrimmage, really good quickness too. So not only can he jam, but he has that hip flexibility and the speed to turn and run with guys down the field. I know he only ran a 4.59 at the combine. He's a little faster than that on film. I thought he had a bad start in the combine. He kind of stood up instead of getting a clean release. But he's definitely fast. He's explosive. We saw that with a ridiculous 133-inch broad jump. So he checks the box there for sure. And this is a guy, small school. So when you're a small school player, I want to see you dominate. You need to be the best guy on the field. And he consistently was. Saw it again at the Senior Bowl, played well there. Every time I've seen him, he's gotten better, too. Taken to the coaching, though, he got in Mobile, just got better throughout the week. So I'm a fan of him. He's a guy who's going to develop a bit throughout his first year, but can come in and play right away. Pretty good ball skills. And, again, he's giving you that size you want to take away some of the bigger receivers in the NFL.
How about a conversation about the offensive linemen in this draft, Matt? And we're visiting with Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, their draft analyst. Draft lead writer, with regard to the talk that Greg Robinson, that Jake Matthews represent the soundest picks, the safest picks that can be made in this draft, and then you hear folks say, well, if you pick any of those guys in the top five, you know, are you really picking a guy, and this is obviously particular to the Browns at four, are you picking a guy that's going to help you, truly help you win more games? Where do you come down on that, and just how good are these linemen that we hear so much about?
I think they're both pretty good. You know, Greg Robinson is just such a rare athlete, and people worry about him not being a great pass protector, but he was really not asked to do that at Auburn because of the way they ran their offense through Nick Marshall with Trey Mason, you know, such a read option zone type of offense. So I think he has all the athleticism to do it. He's just going to need some time. Jake Matthews, to me, is a blue-chip guy. You know, does everything you want. Technically sound, can play right tackle, left tackle, center, guard. He can do it all. Do it at a pretty high level. So I'm a big fan of both guys. Looking specifically at Cleveland, it is a great question because do you draft a right tackle in the top five? Because Joe Thomas is 29 years old. He's probably the best left tackle in football. Where do you use these guys if not at left tackle? So I think there are other positions that are probably a bigger impact and could help you win games. That said, I mean, it's intriguing to say, okay, we're going to have the best offensive tackle duo in the entire NFL. That's definitely a strength, but in a draft that's so deep with so much talent at other positions, it seems like more of a luxury pick instead of, okay, let's go after Baltimore and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. How are we going to win this division? I don't know the right tackle is going to help you do that.
I would agree with that, and that's why I'd like to see them go somewhere else. Now, in the third round you talked about, that's a spot that you could address the offensive line, and in your recent 7-round mock draft at Bleacher Report, you have the Browns going Trey Mason at 71 and then coming back at their pick in the 80s, 83, taking Gabe Jackson from Mississippi State. Talk a little bit about the values and the depth at the running back and guard position in that third, fourth round area.
The running back depth is crazy this year, and it's probably going to be supported by the fact that we're not going to – I would be shocked if we see a running back drafted in the first round. And even in the second round, with so many good players in this draft, like we were just talking about with the offensive tackles, I think teams are going to go for more impact positions, you know, corner, wide receiver, quarterback. So these running backs are going to get pushed down. I think Trey Mason would be a great 1-2 punch with Ben Tate, who's more of a north-south, you know, strong power runner. You get the versatility of Mason in there with some speed, some wiggle out in space. And then Gabe Jackson, this guy's just a mauler coming out of Mississippi State. 6'3", 335 pounds, just one of those kind of mean, physical guys. And I'm a fan of Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle. I know there's been some discussion about moving him to guard maybe, but I think you could put Schwartz and Jackson together on that side. You got a very good power scheme on the right side. Gabe Jackson, probably underrated just because of how great this draft class is. Not even talked about enough, but he's just ready to step in a really power run game from the first day.
Matt, let's get into some discussion about Jadeveon Clowney and the thought that, is he, in your mind, the hands-down guy? Because more folks that you, and again, this is probably just a function of the extra time before the draft, but more and more folks seem to think that all the risks are too great with this guy, and he's really going to give you questionable effort and so on and so forth. And now it seems like Khalil Mack is the name that folks want to focus on. If you're trying to get the defensive stud of this draft, you go to that guy from the University of Buffalo ahead of Jadeveon Clowney. And that just doesn't seem to register with me, but how does it register with you?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think when you look at Clowney, it's, you know, once in a decade type talent. You know, I look back to Julius Peppers and Javon Kearse and think that he's that type of athlete, you know, just crazy speed and burst and strength. And he's still a pretty raw player. And like you said, reach. I mean, so long. He can lock out offensive tackles and then use that burst to rip and swim and spin away from them. So if I had the first pick, I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater fan, but I would take Jadeveon Clowney just because I think if you look at the whole draft class, is there anyone who could be a transcendent player, a guy that really changes a team? And I think Clowney could be that guy just because of all the tools he brings to the table. And if you're Houston, you know, with the staff they have on defense, I think you can definitely get the most out of him, you know, really coaching him up, motivating him. I like Khalil Mack. The Ohio State game is one of the best games I saw any player have all year. But you go next week and watch him play Baylor, and he disappeared. So there's kind of some good and bad with him, too. You look at the players that he went up against consistently at Buffalo. I think Jadeveon Clowney would have had 15 sacks if he had played that schedule that Khalil Mack did. So there are definitely positives and negatives with every one of these players. It's just kind of depending on where people tend to focus.
Matt, final one for me here as we get close to this draft. We've got the rumor mill heating up, things like that. What are some of the biggest draft rumors you're hearing, and any specifically about the Cleveland Browns?
Well, the thing that I've heard most with the Browns is just that there doesn't seem to be a consensus on who they like. And the reason for that was, I think some people in the media talk to scouts, some of us talk to coaches, some of us talk to GMs and owners. And I think with Cleveland, there is not that right now, that consensus of this is the guy we want at four. So we'll see if, you know, if Jimmy Haslam makes the pick. I think it's Johnny Manziel. If it's Ray Farmer making the pick, who knows who it might be. That's probably the biggest buzz coming out of Cleveland right now. As far as, you know, overall draft rumors, I think everyone's just trying to figure out who's going to be the team to pull the trigger and trade up. Everyone has really thought Atlanta all along would try to get into one of those top two spots. But, you know, the Detroit Lions love Sammy Watkins. It wouldn't shock me if they try to do something to get ahead of a team like Cleveland to get the wide receiver out of Clemson. So those are the two biggest things. But it's eerily quiet compared to the last 2 years when I was in New York ready to cover the draft and, you know, your phone's going crazy. This year it's like no one is talking. So it's kind of weird how it's working out this year.
Our final moments with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, their lead draft writer. Matt, do you agree with Kevin Colbert, the GM of the Steelers, who says that, hey, there might not be many trade-ups in this draft and more teams would be more inclined to try to trade down, which means, of course, you need someone who wants to trade up, but that trading up is the least likely scenario because of the extraordinary depth that we perceive this draft to have in players. You stay put in the case of the Steelers at 15, you're going to get a player that he said maybe last year or in previous years you would have gotten at number 7.
I absolutely agree with that. And I actually wrote about it last week, was just that I don't know that we'll see the big trades that we have seen in years past because of that. The talent level is very deep, it's very flat, and if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers or even the Browns at 26, you're drafting a guy who in some years could have been a top 10 player. And I think in round 3, which is generally you're giving up a third-round pick to move up in round 1, those players in round 3, some of them would have been early second-round picks last year. So
right. You're
just forfeiting so much depth and talent by trading up this year. So, I mean, if you're moving up, it has to be for a guy that just makes a career-changing impact because you're giving up the opportunity to get a lot of talent in the middle round.
The great Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. You can check out his 7-round mock draft there, bleacherreport.com, as well as his top 100 big board, which has my guy Theodore firmly atop of the list. You can also follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, enjoy the next couple of days, and then I know how you work. You'll already be on to 2015.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. See you in New York, man.
Great stuff. Matt Miller with us. All right, when we come back, final chance for you guys to get involved on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. You've heard from Mel Kiper Jr. today. You've heard from Matt Miller. What did you hear? Did any of that resonate with you? What are you thinking? A lot of Manziel push again for this Cleveland Browns team, and also the kind of the intimating that if it is Manziel, it's because of Jimmy Haslam. I don't buy that. I'll tell you why when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.